You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of the International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Turn with me, if you will, to 1 Corinthians, well, I want to say 13, but I've got to read the last verse of the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians. This has just been a great teaching. We've been teaching along the lines of the gifts of the Spirit, out of 1 Corinthians 12. We've talked about what they are and how we need them and so on and so forth, the breakdown of what they do. We've talked about what they're not. Because I think if you want to know what something is, you got to know what it's not. Amen. That went over real big. You know, I do believe certain things about God. Therefore, there are certain things about God I don't believe. I believe God's good. Therefore, I don't believe He's bad. Hello? I believe He always tells the truth, so I don't believe He could lie. See, if you believe one thing, you got to believe another thing. You got to, in other words, you cannot believe certain things about God and then just believe everything about God. God isn't everything. God is particular things. God does particular things. You can't believe He does some things and then turn around and say He does just the opposite of that. That's just mutually exclusive. He can't be good and bad. He can't tell the truth and lie. He can't be the same and change. Are you with me? So, you know, when we talk about the gifts are certain things, and certain things they are not. And so we talked about that and took apart the counterparts to the gifts. The gifts of the Spirit mentioned 1 Corinthians 12, 8, 9, and 10. There's nine gifts listed there. Have spiritual counterparts, as it were. Praying in other tongues when you're baptized with the Holy Spirit is not the gift of tongues. That is a totally separate gift. That's a gift. The gift of tongues has an interpretation goes with it in a church service or in a gathering of believers, whether it be a Bible study or, you know, when people are together. But not to be confused with just praying in other tongues when you're baptized with the Holy Spirit. The gifts come as the Spirit wills. The counterparts are up to your will. You could pray in tongues at will if you're baptized with the Holy Spirit as they were in Acts 2 and Acts 19 and Acts 10. And the Bible also says they all spoke with other tongues in Acts 2 and Acts 10 and Acts 19. But the gifts come severally or separately or individually as the Spirit wills. Not as you will, but as the Spirit wills. So the will's involved. So when the Bible talks about are all apostles, well, of course not, but we all go out and preach the gospel, we all are a light, but we're not all in the office of apostle. Are all teachers? Of course not, but we all do teach and admonish one another. The Bible tells us to teach and admonish one another. Are you with me? And when the Bible says do all speak with tongues, of course not. Not the gift of tongues, but yet we do all pray in other tongues, having been baptized with the Holy Spirit, but not the gift of tongues with interpretation of tongues. See, there's the gift in the office, and then there's the counterpart in the spiritual counterpart. So we took that apart. Explained that in great detail. Oh, hallelujah. You're so smart now if you came to those sessions. You know so much now about the gifts that you didn't know before. It makes so much sense now. Amen? And if you didn't, shame on you. I might remind you we have Wednesday night services. A lot of you don't realize that, obviously, because you're never here. But, nah, I love you. Stay with me. Come on. You know I love you. But anyway, we do have Wednesday night services. 1 Corinthians 12, which it talks about the body, the diverseness of the body, the different parts of a body, just like there's different gifts, and yet they all are part of the body of Christ. And then he says in the last verse of the 12th chapter, 31st verse, but earnestly desire the best gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way. Everybody say best gifts. Now, I'm going to submit to you, and you can accept it or not. You can chew on it, or you could throw it out. I don't know. It doesn't matter. You do something with it. I believe that when he says the best gifts, he's not talking about a gift being better than another gift. I believe he's saying that we ought to pray for whatever is necessary. The best gifts, the gift that's necessary at the time. I mean, why would you want if someone needed a healing, you'd want a gift of healing. Are you with me? And if we're just centered focusing on one little gift, then we miss the variety and the spontaneity of the Holy Spirit, and often we miss meeting needs, and God wants to meet needs. So we ought to pray for all the gifts to flow, whatever they are, whenever they need to be flowing, and we ought to pray for the best gifts, whatever's necessary. Are you with me? Now, that's my take on it. If you don't believe that, that's okay. You can still go to heaven. You just when you get there, you'll find out I'm right, that's all. But anyway, no, I don't. Sometimes I just have a take on something and I hadn't heard God on it, but it just seems to fit well in what the Scripture's saying. But then he says this. He says, yet I show you a more excellent way. Now, this is, a misunderstanding and a mistake a lot of people make, and I've heard people preach sermons on this. and miss the whole point of what he's trying to say here. When he says, I show you a more excellent way, he's not saying I show you a replacement for these gifts, something better than these gifts. He's saying I show you a more excellent way, not a more excellent thing or more excellent gift. The excellent way is how we use the gifts. The way we do things doesn't replace what we do. It just determines how we do what we do. Amen. He's not saying, I want you to do this instead of doing that. He's saying, no, I want you to do this way. And the problem they had there in the church at Corinth was there was a lot of disunity. There was a lot of offense being taken. People were running over each other. There was not a lot of order in the services. And that can happen even today in charismatic Pentecostal type churches where their gifts are flowing but not necessarily in order and there's some chaos going on. Hello. Now I realize there's two extremes. There's the extreme of not having anything happening and then there's the extreme of just all kinds of things are happening but there's no order. I think both extremes are wrong, and we ought to hit that middle of the road. We ought to balance this and put this together. Because God's talking about the gifts, and He wants us to flow in them, but He also wants us to do them decently and in order. That's in 1 Corinthians 14, where He's talking about the gifts. In fact, there's three chapters here that deal with the gifts of the Spirit. The 12th, 13th, and 14th chapter. The 13th chapter often is talked about as the love chapter, and it is. It's the love chapter. It talks about love. But in the context of the Bible, it's there in context concerning the gifts. That love should determine how we flow in the gifts. And when gifts are flowing, love should determine how we receive the gifts. That we shouldn't be offended or take offense. Hello, when gifts flow. We shouldn't be self-seeking when gifts flow. Exalt and promote and be boastful and arrogant with our, you know, in promoting ourselves and taking over, as it were. Because what he's talking about love now is how the gifts flow. Y'all say amen anytime amen. Now. Come on now. Come on. Somebody help me here. I'm up here. I'm struggling. I'm plowing. I'm digging deep. Can you see the context of this? Now think about it. Think about it. I'm just trying to help you. The 13th chapter, this will help you, is in between the 12th and the 14th chapter. There you go. See, the light came off just then, didn't it? I saw it. I saw the light. Come on, right there. The 13th chapter is between the 12th and the 14th chapter. And what that means is it's sandwiched in between there because he didn't break his thought and stop and just all of a sudden, hey, let's talk about love for a while. And then 14th chapter, oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot. I was talking about the gifts. Let's get back on the gifts. No, this is not like our adult class where you get on rabbit trails. You've been in there, you know what I'm talking about. Paul had a flow going here, and he was talking about the gifts, and then he says, I show you a more excellent way, and he's still talking about the gifts, but he's talking about how we should flow in the gifts, and this is what he says. 13th chapter. Y'all there? Okay, chapter 13, verse 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels, but have not love, I become a sounding brass or clanging cymbals. So obviously the gifts, charisma doesn't make up for a lack of character. Hello. I mean, you know, we make a lot of charisma. God makes a lot of character, you know. And I think a lot of times gifts aren't received because of the person giving the gift. We all know that person. Hello. Now, come on. Now, I'm not talking about anybody in particular in here, so don't take it. If you take offense, you already missed the point. You need to hear this message already. I'm just talking in general. I'm talking abstractly here. I'm not talking about anybody in particular. I'm just saying this. Many times, you ever had someone say they had something from God and you knew their life was a wreck, my Lord, they weren't living right at all. Would you receive that? Of course not. Because their character just overrides that charisma. That old saying, you know, you're living your life so loud, I can't hear what you're saying. Hello. And so he's saying here that, okay, we want to flow in the gifts, but I tell you what, we got to be in love. We've got to walk in love. And even when you flow in the gifts, you need to do it in love. I've seen people that are real militant about the gifts. Hello. Just act like they're half mad. Prophesying. And I'm thinking, man, that's, whoa, slow down. I mean, that's not necessary. You don't have to do that. Hello. It should flow in love. It should come in love. If I speak in tongues, though I speak with tongues of men and angels and have not love, I have become a sounding brass or clanging cymbal. Is speaking in tongues wrong? No, not at all. It's just it needs to be done in love.
Yes. Amen.
Should we just love and not speak in tongues? No, he's not saying replace it. He's saying do it in love. Everybody say way. See, love is not a thing that replaces all these things. Love is a way you do all these things. And I've heard people preach, well, what we need just, well, you know, all we need is love. Then I've heard people saying, what's love got to do with it? But stay with me. That's two totally different messages and messengers. One was Tina Turner, and I don't think she's a preacher. But the other one. But what's love got to do? Well, love has a lot to do with it. It has to do with everything. But love is not something we do. Stay with me. Love is not something we do outside of all the rest of the Scripture. Love is how we do the Scripture. Love's how we believe. Faith without love. See, faith works by love. So love's not a replacement for faith. It's not a replacement for speaking in tongues. It's not a replacement for the gifts. Love is how we do everything. Let's go on. We'll make this point. Second verse. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and knowledge and have all faith so that I can remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing. Well, we shouldn't be believing God then. We ought to just love. Right? No. We ought to believe in love. We shouldn't have prophecy. No, we ought to prophesy in love. We shouldn't be learning or growing because people really, you know, the old adage, and this is the truth in this adage, people don't care how much you know till they know how much you care. I understand that. But still, having said that, I'm not just supposed to love and be dumb. No, the Bible says be harmless as doves and wise as serpents. Wise as serpents. So we want to love, but love doesn't replace knowledge. If all you're doing is going for knowledge and you step on everybody along your trek and your journey to the mountaintop of wisdom, and you kick everybody in the teeth on the way, well, obviously, you've climbed a mountain that's going to destroy you, actually, because that's not the kind of wisdom God wants you to have. He wants you to get wise. He wants you to take in knowledge. He wants prophecy. He wants you to believe God and stand in faith, but He wants you to do it in love. Love governs, engages everything we do. So don't leave it out. He wants you to pray in other tongues. I thank my God I speak in tongues more than you all, Paul said. Are you with me? He wasn't saying, man, I wish I just had more love instead of praying in tongues. It wasn't an either or. It was both. He was thanking God that he did pray in tongues more than everybody in the whole church at Corinth. If the church at Corinth had a problem with speaking in tongues, Paul must have been a basket case. No, the church at Corinth didn't have a problem with speaking in tongues. They had a problem with love. They had a problem with disunity. They didn't have a problem with the gifts. They had a problem with the misuse. And that boiled down to disunity, and it boiled down to not loving. And they were exalting themselves, and they were showboating, and they were running over each other, and there was disorder, there was no unity, and there was no love. And so what he put this chapter in here was to bring it all together. Amen? Not to rebuke them for the gifts. No, he commended them for the gifts. He instructed them on the gifts. He explained what they were and how they should operate. Hello? But he wanted to make sure they understood that love was how it was supposed to happen, how it was supposed to work. Not as a replacement, but as a way we did everything we do. Is that helping you? Does that make sense? See, love's not a replacement. Love is how we do everything. Love is a way. A way. A way to do things, see? So he says here in the third verse, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Oh, it'd profit people, but it wouldn't profit you. It doesn't do you any good if you don't have love. Now, is he saying here we're not supposed to give to the poor? Of course not. No, that's not what he's saying. Now, wouldn't that be ridiculous? Now, I've heard people use this and teach this and say, well, we ought to just love. You don't be messing with those tongues. Well, wait a minute. The same scripture says give to the poor. I'd submit to you, it's going to be kind of hard to love if you don't give to people. Because it's love that compels us to give to people. Or should be our compelling force, not recognition. Jesus addressed that in Matthew, the 6th chapter. If you give to the poor and you sound a trumpet, you've lost your reward. You've got your reward. You've got the praise of men instead of the praise of God. But if you give it in secret, your Father who sees in secret rewards you openly. So he wanted them to give, but he didn't want them to give to showboat, to draw attention to themselves, to get everybody to recognize who they were. I gave all this money. Hello? No, nothing wrong with the giving of the money, but there sure was something wrong with the attitude. And that's what he's dealing with. Amen? So here he's saying, if I give all my money, if I give it all my goods to feed the poor, which is a good thing. Would anybody disagree that's a good thing? Isn't it a good thing? But you know, you can give it with the wrong reason. You can do it with the wrong heart. You say, well, if I got to give, I'm just going to get up and give it. Well, wait a minute. Is your heart right? Are you living right? Let's think about that a moment. Is it going to be received? See? You need to build trust. See, if you want to help someone, you have to have influence with someone. In a church, it's the same way. You know, as we serve God and live for God, and our trust level just goes way up with each other, doesn't it? And we live right before people begin to trust it. They trust our words and our wisdom and our helping and our sharing. They don't look at us as having ulterior motives when we do things and help people. And so God's really concerned about character, very much concerned about your heart and your character and your motive for what we're doing. And in the gifts are for everybody. They're not to exalt anybody in particular. They're just for everybody to benefit from. Amen? The manifestation of the Spirit, 1 Corinthians 12:7, says the manifestation of the Spirit is given to everyone to profit with all. Now, he's not saying all the gifts are given to everybody. He's saying the manifestation of the gift is given to everybody. Just like when a prophecy comes or a tongue comes or something happens here by the Spirit, all of us profit from it. Although one individual gave it, it wasn't to exalt that individual. It wasn't for you to look at that individual as somebody real spiritual. You know, when I first started teaching on the gifts here, I talked about different instances where certain gifts had moved in my life and God had given me a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge, and certain real supernatural, showed me some things about particular people. And I was very cautious to say when I shared that don't get the idea that I'm walking around and that if I just look at you and I see every sin in your life or every good thing in your life. That's crazy. I can count on my hands how many times I've had that happen in 30 years of ministry, that specific detail like that. That's the Spirit of God that moves. That wasn't meant to make me look spiritual because I'm no more spiritual than anybody in this building. We're all on the same plane there. God loves us all the same. So the gifts are not to exalt a person. We do that. We idolize people. God doesn't. We look at a minister that comes through as something far greater than all of us. Oh, you know, he's not one of us, you know. Yes, he is. He's one of us. I remember Butch Bruton, good friend of mine, Cattle Mills, pastors, New Life Church over there. You might know him. We show him on our television channel. He has a television program. He was down in Guatemala at a Bible school graduation down there at Quetzaltenango, Guatemala. And Kenneth Copeland was doing the ceremony. And, of course, that's before Butch got to know Brother Copeland real well. They're real close now, I think, very good friends. But at that time, he was just down there because he was supporting that missionary down there. Jim Zirkle was the missionary. We supported him at one time years ago. And after the graduation took place, Kenneth Copeland comes off the platform, walks down the platform. Butch is standing there kind of like Tommy's right here. And he just grabs his hand like this. Yeah, I'm going to stand up here. He just grabs his hand like this, and Copeland looks him right in the eye. And if you've ever been around Copeland, he's got some wild eyes. Oh, man. He's got some wild eyes, you know. He looks him right in the eyes, and he says, Butch, it's time for some serious laying down. And Butch is going, oh, my God, what have I done? And then he says, and I'm going to go lay down right now. I'm tired. And walks off. What do you think, spiritual law? He's just talking about, you know, laying down. Oh, Butch, he's going, oh, my God. Nah, we're just people. Are you with me? And when the gifts flow, they're to benefit all of us. And if we're used, well, hallelujah. Thank God. You're not all of a sudden Superman or Superwoman when you get used in the gift. You know, just and so you don't want to go there. Love. Love's how the gifts should operate. Love's not a replacement. Love's the way we do the gifts, the way we use the gifts, the way we minister in the gifts. So it says here, third verse, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. I think that's significant. Because he's not saying it doesn't profit anybody. It just doesn't profit you. Isn't that something to be used by God and you don't get anything out of it? I can think of even the Bible, many cases where that took place. Jonah was one of them. There's a whole city profited from Jonah, but he didn't get any good at all out of it. In fact, he even resisted it and almost died out there in a whale's belly. Hello. And then when he finally obeyed God, he was mad because God didn't destroy the city. Man, that was a disgruntled prophet if I ever saw one. That was a prophet that got no profit. The no profit prophet. And we can be the same way. I've met ministers that are just dynamic, gifted. I mean, they just flow. They get up there and they're just rolling. And then you talk to them after the service. They're mad about everything. They're just disgruntled about everything. God's just not moving enough for them. They don't have big enough church. They don't have enough money. They're miserable, absolutely miserable, all day long, every day. And yet people are getting something from the ministry. They're profiting, but the person ministering is not profiting. And you know, God wants us all to profit. Amen. Amen. And love makes us all profit. Love not only blesses the giver, it blesses the one giving. If your heart's right and you really love people and you're doing it because you love people and you're not trying to exalt yourself, you're not trying to promote yourself, you're not trying to get another, you know, notch on your, you know, on your pistol, that you've knocked another devil down. Hello. Put it on your resume. I've seen ministers have, I flow in all nine gifts of the Spirit at will. Have gun, will travel. Come on. First of all, I don't believe that. Secondly, how could you have the audacity to put that, hello, on your resume? You know, because you're just exalting yourself. You're just showboating, as it were. Okay. Well, you have not love, props you nothing. So love's not a replacement for these things. Love is a way to do these things. Look at that verse again, the 12th chapter, the last verse, 12th chapter. Earnestly desire the best gifts, yet I show you a more excellent way. Y'all see that? Amen. Way, a way of doing things. And then he defines what love is in the fourth verse. He starts from the fourth all the way down to the eighth verse. And he says, love suffers long and is kind. Hello, everybody say kind. It's not mean-spirited. You know, you shouldn't preach mean. You shouldn't minister mean. You shouldn't help people with a mean spirit. You know, I saw a minister one time. He was an evangelist. And, you know, he did get a lot of people saved. Thank God for that. And that's wonderful. But, boy, my goodness, you talk about mean. Just when he'd get up and, Brother Osteen, you said, if you're going to preach the good news glad. Don't preach it mad. Yeah. And this one, I heard him say this, and I thought, my, it's just funny listening to it. He'd get up and he said, God loves you and I love you. You never done a good thing in your life. You hate your mama, you hate your papa. But God loves you and I love you. God bless your dirty, rotten little hearts. Now, I'm not exaggerating, that's exactly what he said. You probably heard, you know what I'm talking about. Anyway, God bless you, dirty, rotten little hearts. You lost, undone, worthless worm of the dust. Get down here and repent before God. Well, you know, people will come down. That's what gets me. People will actually come down to that, you know, and get saved. I guess they just scare it out of them, you know. Woo! I'm kind of like what Brother Hagin said. He said, you know, You even hit a hog on the head with a two before every time he comes to slop to feed, he'll quit coming. And that just won't work. That may work for a little while, but that's not going to work very long. Are you with me? You can't intimidate and just rule by fear. That's just not going to happen. You know, you got to build trust. You got to love people, and you got to let your love flow. You got to be firm, sure. Amen. You have to have order, yes. And I believe in order, and I believe in being firm. And I have no problem, you know, stepping in and taking care of situations and so on and so forth. It's not the thing I love the most. I don't love doing it, but I've got to do it. But I've got to watch my heart, make sure I do it in love, make sure the person knows I'm trying to help them. Even when you correct someone, you want to tell them you're doing it for their good and you're trying to help them. Because you're definitely not helping somebody letting them continue in sin, especially in the ministry, especially in the church. God forbid that I as a pastor would allow sin in leadership in our church. Many, many, many times we've had people, you know, to step down, move, whatever was going on in their life, for the sake of restoring, not for the sake of hammering and beating somebody up. But you've got to know this place is holy. You've got to know this place, we're going to honor holiness. And you've got to know that your pastor is going to make that decision. Are you with me? In love. People often ask me, are you going to kick somebody out of the church? Listen, we're not about kicking people out of the church. Well, that's not what it's all about. We're about restoring people. Hello. But we do have order. Hello. And you have to. You have to have that. But you got to do it in love. You got to do it in love. Because if you don't do it in love, you're messing up. You can't just be mean. You can't just assert your authority. And even in the gifts, you can't just, well, bless God, I've got something. I'm just going to give it and get up and give it. Oh, no, we got to flow. Are you with me? Because then all of a sudden, now we've gotten the wrong motive. We're already pushing the button. Okay, so he explains what love is. Fourth verse, love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. Is not puffed up. Come on. Don't get puffed up now. Don't get puffed up with me, because that's not going to work. I always say, if you want to get crazy, I can get crazy. Okay? But I don't want to, but I mean... Anyway, puffed up, that's just going to hurt you anyway. You know what? That's society. People get puffed up when they get poisoned. Yeah. That snake got a hold of you, bit you, and you're not shaking it off. You know, Paul shook it off. That's what we need to do when bitterness comes or offense comes. Just shake it off. Come on, don't you take that. Don't you take that offense. No. Don't you do that. You let love rule the day. Come on. Shake it off. Because if you don't shake it off, that snake's still holding on. The longer he holds on, the more puffed up you get. And we can all see it. You're so puffed up. You're puffed up with that bitterness and unforgiveness or whatever the case may be, you know, and you need to shake it off. Amen. Okay, so love doesn't get puffed up. Oh, I'm preaching now. I'm getting down there where you live now, aren't I? Okay. I feel like that parrot, you know. You know. It says, does not behave rudely. Okay, now we're talking about love, and of course we've taught on this before, and it applies to love in general, but you know, specifically he's talking about the gifts. He's talking about the gifts. Don't be rude now. Don't be rude. Let's be nice. Does not behave rudely. Does not seek its own. Oh, bless God, I had something. Well, we all have something from time to time. You know, sometimes I've had something and just it wasn't the time to give it or whatever the case may be. Just get over it. Hello. You know, I appreciate Mari several times. She got up, and at the timing just wasn't there, and she's so sweet. She came back to church the next service. I appreciate that, Mari. No, really. I mean, if I don't feel a flow, if I'm wrong, pray for me. But I am here for a reason. I am here for a purpose. And if I don't feel a flow and I want to say, just hold that and let's go on, just love me, okay? Just love me and go on. By all means, examine yourself and see if you really did have something, because there's a reason I said that, obviously. But even if I did miss it, I still love you, and you got to love me. I mean, I'm like an orchestra, a conductor, as it were. I don't have to have all the gifts flowing, but I do have to have a sense of the flowing of the Spirit, because there has to be order, and that's what the pastor's here for. It's just to kind of to flow. Yes, you give that, whatever you give that. And there are instructions on how many times gifts should flow, incidentally, in the Bible, the 14th chapter of this book, which we'll get into later. But, you know, work with me. I'm not Holy Ghost enough for some people. I'm too Holy Ghost for other people. No, come on, really. I mean, the porridge is too hot, it's too cold. I don't know. I can't make everybody happy. Just love us and pray for us, and we want the gifts to flow. Amen? On the flow, but then it's got to flow in some kind of order that the Scripture gives us here. But by all means, we've got to love each other. Thank you for that one person. Thought that was a good idea, and it was my wife. It says, it does not seek its own. It's not provoked, fifth verse. Thinks no evil. Don't think there's an agenda behind the gifts. Oh, no, come on, let's just flow together. You know, let's flow together and love each other. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Amen. Oh, man, I love the truth. Don't you love the truth? Yes. I want the truth. I want when I see it and recognize it, you know, I'm willing to change if that's the case. Amen. If I can see it, I want to change. Because I love the truth. Yes. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. We never give up hope. Hallelujah. We endure whatever comes. Let the devil throw his best shot. We're still going to be standing when it's all over, because we're going to walk in love. We're going to live in love. Amen? Amen. And we can bear it. We can handle it. Now, don't start thinking that old saying, God will never put on you more than you can handle. God's not putting it on you.
That's right.
God's given you the strength to overcome it and to endure it. Are you with me? So you can bear it. You can handle it. I don't know what's going on in your life, but you just keep loving. You keep loving, pays off. Love always pays. Always pays to love people even when they do you wrong. You love them. You pray for them. Amen? So love continues to hope. It bears all things, endures all things. Eighth verse, love never fails. Never. You'll never go wrong loving people. You, even, you know, if you're correcting and you do it in love, it'll never fail. Never fail. Hello. And when the gifts are genuinely given and the gifts are genuinely flowing and you stand up in love and you give it, it's always received that way. It'll never fail. Amen. Let me read you out of Amplified what it says here. Just those fourth to the eighth verses. Love endures long and is patient and kind. Love never is envious nor boils over with jealousy. It's not boastful or vainglorious, does not display itself haughtily. It is not conceited, arrogant, and inflated with pride. It is not rude, unmannerly, and does not act unbecomingly. Love, God's love in us, does not insist on its own rights or its own way. For it is not self-seeking. It is not touchy or fretful or resentful. It takes no account of the evil done to it. It pays no attention to a suffered wrong, like water off a duck's back. It does not rejoice at injustice and unrighteousness, but rejoices when right and truth prevail. Love bears up under anything and everything that comes, and is ever ready to believe the best of every person. Its hopes are fadeless under all circumstances, and it endures everything without weakening. Love never fails, never fades out or becomes obsolete or comes to an end. Man, that's good stuff. Amen. And that, in a real sense, is what makes the world go round. Love really does that. Love is how we should. And see, it's interesting that Paul just stops right there and he says, let's talk about love here. Let's talk before we get into the operation of the gifts. He's talked about what the gifts were. He talked in the 12th chapter. He talked about the variety of the gifts, just like we have variety in the body of Christ. And we're all different, yet we're the body. And all the gifts are different, yet they're still from the same Spirit. And then before he gets into how they should operate, which that's what the 14th chapter talks about, is how they should flow in the service and so on and so forth. But before he does that, he starts talking about love. Because that's got to be paramount first. Before we go any further with this, Paul's saying, we got to address this issue of love. We got to love. Amen. Amen. And whatever we do out of love. And so, I want to move into gifts, so I'll be somebody. No, you already missed it. No, love's not vainglorious. Love's not puffed up. Love does not exalt itself. Are you with me? It's not for recognition's sake. It's, in fact, if you want to draw attention to somebody, the Holy Ghost is the one we're drawing attention to. And when the gifts flow, it ought to draw attention to Him, not you. Amen? And so love's paramount. So he covers that. And then he gets into, I wish I had time. Really don't have time. Brent took so long talking for the service. But you know, I'm a love. I just love. It was about love too. Yeah. It was about love. So we got to love each other. That was real tricky. We're talking on love, so I can't even get on to you about it, you know, but. No, that's good. I thank God for Brenda and all she shares. And has added so much to our services, her getting up and sharing before. It gets us stirred up, gets us focused and ready to go. Thank God, even though it was long. But love suffers long. You know, it's patient and it's kind and all those kinds of things. Well, if we had time, I'd get into this, but the rest of this chapter, and we'll just have to pick it up. But, you know, the gifts hadn't passed away. That's not what the rest of this chapter is talking about. It's talking about a time when they will pass away, when Jesus comes. When Jesus comes, we no longer need the gifts. That's what he says in the first chapter of this book, 1 Corinthians, first chapter, 7th verse. He prays that you come behind a no gift waiting for the coming of the Lord. When that which is perfect has come is the coming of the Lord. When He comes, we'll no longer see through a glass darker, but then face to face. We'll no longer know in part, but we'll know as we are known. Amen. That's a wonderful day that's coming. Hallelujah. And when that comes, we won't need the gifts. But love, love will still endure. Amen.